the show starting now?
Yes, Joe's here.
Joe hasn't been here in a year and a half.
Welcome to watching things. Welcome to watching bad wrestling poorly.
Yeah, that's right.
Welcome with your number one professional wrestling expert, Sam Kreps, the generic DJ.
That's right.
Let me tell you, all of the wrestling that I've watched, it all culminates in this moment.
I've been so excited to watch this with you. Welcome to Foundation Radio. My name is Adam Bernard, and I am here with the co-executive producer of the show and the voice, the second voice, rather, of the show, Mr. Sam Kreps.
The executive voice. The executive, I like that.
The executive voice. That's actually what should be your title. That's great. I'm going to change the show notes from now
executive
on.
Executive voice.
Fucking A, dude. I love
it. Makes me sound like an executive chef or something. Like I speak on everyone's behalf. Like you guys just write out what you're going to say, and I just say, Adam says...
The inner monologue in my head. Yes, that's exactly what it is, man. Today, we are starting a new segment on the show called Sam Watches Bad Wrestling.
Poorly.
I think my favorite thing about this is that, Sam, you have less than zero knowledge about professional wrestling, right?
Yeah, we kind of talked about it when we were talking before your Eric Bischoff interview. My knowledge of professional wrestling pretty much extends to WCW NWO for Nintendo 64. I know who Hulk Hogan is. I know who Stone Cold Steve Austin is. I know who the main players of wrestling 10, 15 years ago were. I couldn't tell you much about it. I've never had any distaste towards professional wrestling. It's always one of those things that kind of just existed along with me. I know enough to I could probably fake my way through about 40% of a conversation about pro wrestling, but I've never really, I've even tried more recently to sit down and appreciate pro wrestling for what it is, as, an appreciator of things musical theater, things like that, and athletics in general. I can appreciate what goes into the world of wrestling entertainment, but it's just never really coalesced for me. So apparently these are not the matches I should be starting with to appreciate wrestling.
That is correct. Yes. And I feel like that's really, it's interesting because you're right. You are a theater guy. You're a production guy. So I'm kind of I'm a little surprised that you never really got into it just for the aesthetic of it. Right. Cause I mean the production values, especially recently, have been second to none, right? Especially with the Thunderdome, something like that, what WWE has been able to accomplish in the face of the pandemic is absolutely unbelievable. I mean, they have a whole fucking stadium full of televisions where people live broadcast themselves into the stadium and they pipe in noise and they wrestle. So it makes it sound like there's an animated crowd. It's been fantastic. But
yeah,
I mean, there are a lot of really amazing matches that we can watch.
And these are none of them.
And I've sent you a couple of them, but the matches that we're going to watch for the show are not on that list. This this particular match, we're starting off with a bang here, Sam. We're starting off all the way back in 1998 with Halloween Havoc. This match is Hollywood Hulk Hogan versus The Ultimate Warrior. It is the second-to-last match on the card, and it is infamous for being one of the worst wrestling matches of all time. So I know you mentioned you know Hulk Hogan. You probably know the Ultimate Warrior. Both of these guys were super megastars in the 80s and 90s.
Admittedly, I know who Ultimate Warrior is because of you. I wouldn't have known who he was outside of your tutelage, so to speak. But I definitely obviously know. I know enough to know that in this era, Hollywood Hogan was a little different than the character that most knew is, Hulkamania. I at least know, that much.
Right, yeah. And this Hogan is the heel Hulk Hogan who turned heel in 1996 at Bash at the Beach and basically revolutionized pro wrestling with the NWO with Scott Hall and Kevin Nash. So basically,
is it a requirement of professional wrestling events to have alliterations in their title? Bash on the Beach, Bash. Halloween Havoc.
Pretty much.
Or at least, or rhyming, Hell in a Cell.
That's actually, yeah. I mean, honestly, it's WrestleMania and SummerSlam and Survivor
SummerSlam,
Series.
SummerSlam, yeah. Survivor Series.
Those are the big WWE pay-per-views. And then like Starcade and Halloween Havoc and Bash at the Beach and the Great American Bash. These are all WCW pay-per-views. Now,
not
if you
quite
get,
as many alliterations as like right. Stan Lee, but or, it's getting close.
Or if you get into like ECW, it's like December to Dismember, and then you have all kinds of crazy shit that happened in ECW. So we'll get there eventually. But
okay.
So the big reason this match was really popular because it was the long-awaited rematch between Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior. They had a gigantic, just a super blowout match at WrestleMania 6 back in 1990. It was Hulk Hogan was the WWF champion. Ultimate Warrior was the Intercontinental champion. And they had this amazing main event match. It's considered like one of the coolest matches that's ever happened. And it's unbelievable. It's regarded by wrestling fans as a really incredible match. However, this match, it just fell apart quickly, and it's really fucking bad. Like, there's no other way to put it. There's botches, and Warrior is what they call blown up. Do you have any idea what it means to be blown up? Have you ever heard that term before?
Not in this sense.
Okay, so blown up basically means you're just like, you're shot, right? You're just totally fucked in the ring, and you're out of breath, and you're breathing heavy, and your skin is red, and the Warrior basically has that. So as far as this match goes, again, it was given a negative 5-star rating in the Wrestling Observer magazine, which is the lowest rating you can get.
So
by
it was
Dave
their
Meltzer.
Scale. That, I didn't know that star ratings had negatives.
It goes 5 to -5, and this is in that special category. Wade Keller of the Pro Wrestling Torch gave this his lowest rating possible, a dud. It's basically, again, it's considered in most professional wrestling circles as one of the worst matches of all time. Eric Bischoff eventually did come around, friend of the show, Eric Bischoff eventually did come around and said that this was, you know, a really terrible match. So I guess I'm excited to show you this because Halloween Havoc to me was always my favorite WCW pay-per-view just because it was the fall and I just loved sort of the scary aspect of it. And there are a lot of really great matches. Like at the end of this pay-per-view, Goldberg and DDP fight, and it's one of the best matches that ever took place at Halloween Havoc, with the exception of the fact that no one saw it on pay-per-view because they went over too long during the feed and the pay-per-view companies cut it out. So everybody got to see DDP and Goldberg lock up and then the screen went black. So that definitely happened. But, you know, they made good on Nitro the next night. But how are you feeling about, you haven't, now, just to be clear, you haven't looked up anything about this match. You haven't seen anything. This is the first time pulling it up on Peacock, right?
All I did was ask my buddy at work, Mike, who also appreciates wrestling. I said what I was being subject to, and I mentioned the match, and he knew right away. He was like, oh, yeah, that's the rematch. That one sucks.
And, Mike, you are correct, sir. Yes, that is terrible. So we're going
to
start.
Shout out to Mike and the Making Fun of MacGyver podcast. He has a podcast all about MacGyver with a bunch of his buddies, and it's actually very fun. It's following along each episode of MacGyver, not unlike the style we're about to do here.
Yeah, that actually sounds amazing. I definitely want to check that out. What's the name of the show again?
Making Fun of MacGyver.
I cannot wait to put that on my to-do list. So we're going to start here on Peacock. What you're going to do is, so if you're in the States, WWE is now hosted by Peacock. So you're going to pull up your Peacock app and you're going to search in the search bar. The easiest way to find this is just type in Halloween Havoc. You're going to go to season 10, which is 1998. And we're going to start at the very beginning first, because I want Sam to see the intro of this to sort of give him some color on the very beginning of this. So, Sam, I'm going to count us down, and then we'll hit play together. Let me know when you're all set.
Oh, I'm all set.
All right. 3, 2, 1, play. All right. So the screen is black right now, and here comes a black and white version of Hollywood Hogan.
And that two-tone beard.
There he is.
Not fooling anyone.
And the Warrior. It's the in-ring. This in-ring promo is actually famous because Warrior was only supposed to go like 3 or 4 minutes. He ended up going 22 in the ring, which caused so many issues where WCW, they lost a ton of everything.
Advertiser incomes, probably. Yeah.
Yes. And they had to cut a bunch of matches and everything, and
OWN, he's a big Oprah supporter.
Goldberg and DDP. So this is the really solid match. There's Tomato Sting and Bret Hart, Kevin Nash. A lot of big wrestling guys here. There it is.
Brought to you by Snickers.
All right. Now we're going to pause it, and we're going to skip forward to 2 hours.
Oh, hold on. Let's keep rolling here.
Yeah, you want to keep rolling? All right.
I want to see these festivities here at the beginning.
All right. Yeah, let's keep rolling. I'm at 1 minute and
they are screaming 12. And yelling.
Tony Schiavone giving his commentary, the lead commentator in WCW.
Oh, man.
What do you think of the pumpkin set, Sam?
I think lots of goblins shake pumpkins, as is tradition. Is this sponsored by Snickers?
I believe so. It appears that it's sponsored by Snickers. There are Snickers signs fucking everywhere. Look at the ghoul in the background.
The sneezing goblin shaking a piano or shaking a pumpkin.
Now remember, this is heavy in the WCW NWO war, which is why you see everything branded WCW NWO.
Right. So, I at least know that much.
Now the plan initially.
He hasn't stopped yelling since the promo began for this episode. He's sitting at a desk with the other guys.
That's pretty much Tony Schiavone. Yeah,
they're pretty much sitting there. Say. The other announcers basically just got screamed at for the last, like, there's 5 minutes.
Bobby Heenan and Mike Tenay and Tony Schiavone. This is actually a really solid commentary team. Bobby Heenan's considered one of the greatest of all time, the greatest managers of all time. And Mike Tenay is the best play-by-play guy ever. I mean, he's color commentator. He's just an encyclopedia of wrestling.
All right. So I'm at about 2.5 minutes. Let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and find the moment we've all been waiting for here.
What did you think? So what did you think? What's your takeaway first? This is like your first pay-per-view.
If I was a child watching that, I probably would have cried. I would have been terrified of that. Like, if I was in an arena with that much noise and that much fireworks and that much like scary things, I probably wouldn't have even, as a child, would not have even been convinced it was going to be okay to go into a place like that. But wow,
that's intense.
Talk about it? I definitely know it's sponsored by Snickers.
Well, that's at least that we know. The takeaway right away is that Snickers produced this event, so we could definitely say that.
Make and zero still, mistakes.
They still produce a ton of shit too for WWE. They just sponsored WrestleMania, which I think was a make good from last year, because you know obviously nobody was in the arena last year. So yeah, I mean, they're still really, really heavy in the wrestling world. But, so I love the fact that you pointed out that everybody is screaming at the commentary table, because that's pretty much what wrestling is, man.
Everyone's just screaming all the time. I'm mostly amused because there's two other guys in there, and it sounds like he's yelling to somebody that's 800 feet away. But he's like screaming in their ears. I love it.
Oh, man.
All right.
We're at 2 minutes or 2 hours, rather. 2 hours, 33 minutes and 51 seconds.
All right. Now, I can get to 50.
Yeah. Let me back up here a little bit. I'll get myself all backed up. Now, again, if you're watching on Peacock, the easiest way to find this is to go to the search bar, type in Halloween Havoc, go to season 10. And that is 1998. You'll see a picture of Hulk Hogan choking out the Ultimate Warrior. And then if you're on the WWE Network, if you're international, you're going to go to pay-per-views and then WCW, you're going to search for Halloween Havoc. You'll find 1998 and then you'll find the Hogan Warrior match, which you should be able to scan to because Peacock doesn't allow that. So, all right, Sam, are you ready? You go ahead and count us in.
All right, I'll hit play in 3, 2, 1, play.
Right.
Oh, there was an ambulance.
Here's the classic NWO music. Fun fact, Hollywood Hogan used to actually come out to Voodoo Child by Jimi Hendrix. They had an agreement with him, with the Hendrix estate, that he could play it. Obviously, they can't play it now on, you know, Peacock, but it was cool to watch as a kid.
So that's what he would be walking out to right now.
Yes.
But instead he gets...
He gets the NWO bing, music, bing. Yep.
New World Order.
New World Order for life. You'll hear the talk. Listen for the talking over the music in a little bit, too. They just play stuff. The cackling... Which we are in control.
Thunder Lips.
It is hard to overstate how popular this man is. At this time,
that feather boa makes him like that. Must be the biggest feather boa in the world.
I'm pretty sure
he looks like
it is.
Svelte with that feather boa on. not a small person.
Look at how tan he is too.
Yeah, and look at how black his beard isn't, actually. Yep.
So Hollywood Hogan's walking to the ring. He's pointing at a sign that says Hollywood built NWO Las Vegas. Again, it is hard to overstate how popular the NWO was and still is today. If you look at like the Thunderdome, if you look at any AEW show, you will absolutely see an NWO sign somewhere or an NWO shirt somewhere in the stands. So
I know I see them when I watch.
It's pretty much everywhere, man.
Oh, here's last week. Oh, the chair to the head.
Chair shot. There's Stevie Ray. There's the Giant. There's Vincent. And
who
Scott
did he hit
Norton.
With the chair?
That is... Now, who the hell is that? Horace Hogan? Yeah, Horace Hogan, which is his cousin. Storyline
okay.
cousin. There
okay.
he goes. For life, brother.
The son of his deceased brother. The son of his plumber's sisters. Bischoff is retarded, broke, a gimp, all of the above.
Oh, that's cute.
All on television.
Yeah. Well, this is pay-per-view, so remember.
Why don't they like Eric Bischoff?
Well, Eric Bischoff's part of the NWO.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's on the squad now. Here we go. Here comes the big entrance for the Ultimate Warrior. Not nearly as insane as the WWF entrances were. And they refer to him as the Warrior, because they
Warrior.
Can't refer to him as the Ultimate Warrior.
Right.
But Jim Hellwig actually changed his name to Warrior sometime around 1993, so he was able to go by the Warrior. But everybody knows who the hell he is. The OWN stuff is actually, the reversal of the NWO, which he referred to as the One Warrior Nation.
Right. I got my facts wrong there. I was thinking of the Oprah Network OWN. And not the conservative news network on either.
Right. There's a couple of differences there, yeah. Although the Warrior probably would have been on that network if he was alive. So here he comes, running to the ring. He's going to run. He's going to gas himself out pretty quickly.
He is like a relief pitcher who drank too many beers last night.
This is his
whole thing. Oh, he's out of control.
He's wild.
Pumping the ropes right now.
Man, this shit was fucking over in the early 90s, man. I'm telling you, this was the most over shit of all time. Look at him huffing and puffing already. Blown the fuck up, man. That cheesy 80s rock music, too. Poor Nick Patrick. Referee Nick Patrick's going to get his ass handed to him in a couple minutes. Just running all over the place, this fucking guy. Man, I really do. I got to tell you, I'm looking at this crowd. I really miss live events, man. They're finally coming back, though. I'm excited.
Yeah, they're excited to be back
in the crowd. So they have something coming out here in Cleveland, which is about 2 hours from where we are here in Pittsburgh. So we might end up going out that way.
All right.
Man, look at those colors.
Those are some tassels.
Yeah, dude.
And some colors.
He's the chicken shit.
It's a good thing that Hollywood Hogan is talking over top of the announcers, too. It's really easy to tell what they're all saying in this broadcast.
For sure. It's just noise all the time.
And Kenny Powers is the official, I see.
I never put that together that Nick Patrick looked just like Kenny Powers, but he does.
Kenny fucking Powers.
He sure does. Look at how tan this man is.
I was going to say, Tan Man is especially amplified by his feather boa, too.
Now he's screaming at the fans. He's trying to get that cheap heat.
The ladies love Cool Hulk
I guess so. Look at that intricate face paint on the Warrior.
It's like one of those like Pennsylvania Dutch windows on the side of the barn.
It's like stained glass.
Say.
It's like at a church. You're looking at the church over across the street here.
He's got Notre Dame on his face.
And if you look at his face paint, he's all sweaty at the top of his head, so it's already starting to run. So you know this is just going to get great, like, quick.
Sorry, Kenny Powers is holding him down.
Yep. Hogan
while
looks...
While Hulk paints his beard back on.
I'm going to kill this guy, he says. Yeah.
I want to know who in WCW said, you know, you can have a full beard, but let's paint it so it looks stupid. Like, don't make it the natural white, bright hair that you have that's already rad.
Yeah.
Let's make it dark and strange.
Well, he's
like
gotta,
no beard in existence.
He's got to do that because he's a heel, man. He's a bad guy.
Right. Bad men are all dark. That's
Absolutely.
What they're trying
that's,
to say.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Now, Warrior, we're already about 2 or 3 minutes into this, and Warrior hasn't taken his jacket off. Hogan's
say
got
his,
the...
Like, 40-pound jacket.
Yeah, that canvas, whatever the hell that is.
pointing,
Jesus
talking.
Christ, look at how fucking tan he is, man. I'm sorry. I just can't get over this. Holy Santa Claus shit. I'm going to kick Ooh. Your butt, brother. He's a heel sounded and he's like talking he was, about kicking his butt.
It sounded like he was about to toss an F-bomb in there.
I'm pretty sure he was.
Pay-per-view. But now his skull cap is gone and he just kind of looks like Terry Bradshaw.
A bearded Ultimate Warrior. Terry Bradshaw.
Ultimate Warrior is still not recovered from having run in the ring.
No, that's what I'm saying, man. Essentially, you're if you've watched this Ultimate Warrior match, you've watched every Ultimate Warrior match because this is exactly what he does. He's good at matches that are quick squashes, what they call, right?
Hulk just looks kind of the same way, though. They're both kind of just lumbering around like, okay.
Big meaty men.
They're finally locking up. We've been watching for like 5 minutes, and now Hulk's giving him a few punches and a knee.
We're 7 minutes in, and they're not. They're just finally doing this. And Warrior is doing something called no selling, right? Or he was a minute ago. Or he's selling like shit, realistically.
Well, and so, I was going to say, right now they're holding hands and spinning around.
Right.
And
now here's Hogan selling, right? Hogan is a great seller of these moves and the pain. Warrior is
kind of gave me the vibe, though, that he was like laughing while he was doing it. Like he was like, he felt pathetic doing it.
Here he goes, raising the roof again.
Oh, and he hurt his head somehow.
Yeah, slamming on the canvas.
Fell on his back, managed to hurt his head.
How do you feel so far?
He's ashamed of his baldness. That's why he's holding his hand up there right now. And that bald man is yelling at him like, I have less hair than you, brother. Get back up there.
Brother.
And I think somebody stole his skull cap off the side.
I mean, a lot of times these guys throw the stuff out into the crowd. So
It looked like he got tossed, and it looked like somebody was already wearing his NWO skull cap. Like, I'm not even kidding. That might be what happened. It's all right. Kenny's got a lockdown down here. I'm going to keep calling him Kenny, the official.
Hey, do it, man.
Because I already, what's his name?
His name is Nick Patrick.
Okay, so Kenny Powers.
I'm just making sure this audio is not coming through on the show either, because I don't want to get sued by WWE. No, I think we're good. I think it's quiet enough. You can't hear it.
Yeah, I don't suppose it would be, unless you're watching. I'm watching on headphones.
I'm watching on headphones too.
Back to walking, lumbering in a tired circle and staring at each other.
Yep. Here we go. Here comes
they're
lockup.
Saying a lot that we can't hear, which is really effective television.
So they're doing this is something that happened during their original match. They're doing the lockup, but the build to that was so much better than this. Feel the power. He's yelling. Kenny Powers. Feel the Kenny Powers.
I got to hand it to the commentators. They're trying to sell it, too.
Yeah.
Because now they're...
I'm telling you, Mike Tenay and Bobby Heenan are fucking fantastic. They were the best part of watching WCW. Shivani's good, too. Like, I think their commentary
now,
team was great.
What's this move?
It's just
Hogan lifted his knee to tap it to his neck, and now... Now Warrior is dry humping the air while Hogan does a little kick line.
I was going to say he's doing crunches at the fucking turnbuckle. What is he doing?
Now they're holding hands.
Yeah,
they've got their fingers laced, so I think it's serious.
The power of the Warrior. Here we go. This is a lockup.
They're in a very compromising lockup right now.
If you didn't know any better.
If you're just joining us. Like, Hogan can't even get his leg up high enough to sell the kick.
Make sure
fully.
The kids are in bed before you put this on.
Yeah.
My, this is a very compromising position, isn't it?
Well, they're all locked up fingers wise, but like Hogan couldn't lift his leg high enough to kick Warrior in that last part.
It's that weight belt, brother.
And I don't. Yeah. Neither of them seems to be doing anything right now. But apparently
he's selling the power of the Warrior is what he's doing.
So. I was going to say, so the Warrior is hurting him now?
Yes, he is. That is correct.
They were holding hands for a while, but now it hurts Hogan. Is it
his weakness. The Warrior.
Oh, okay. There's that ultimate kick again.
There he goes.
That kick that didn't quite get there.
I fucking love Halloween Havoc, dude. I got to tell you, I'm glad that WWE resurrected the brand in NXT because now they're doing it on TV now.
Oh, okay.
It's fucking great, man.
That's cool.
That's my favorite part of the initial part of the holidays. It doesn't start until Halloween Havoc.
They've been holding hands for like a minute and a half now, just kind of yelling.
Yep.
This is supposed to be... I'm missing how this is supposed to be like painful. unless they're just gripping right. each other's hands really hard. It's like,
well, again, Hogan is trying to destroy the Ultimate Warrior. I'm sorry, the right. Warrior.
So
and now he is trying to
now he's
feel,
headbanging.
You get the power of all the warriors all over the world to defeat the evil Hulk Hogan.
That's a stretch.
And this is, here we go. Now we're going to
I think physical ability might sell it better than a spiritual theory, and at least if I were watching.
Now here goes.
Oh, to the face, off the ropes. Now we're going to do some bouncy moves.
Yep.
Ooh, doing all the bouncy. That was very, that was a lot of wind up for.
Now here, that's the thing. Wound up. Hogan gives him a body slam. Warrior doesn't sell this shit. He gets up and body slams him. Like, Warrior is notorious for hurting people.
Now he's humping the air again.
He broke Bruce Pritchard's neck in a botch move that he did. Andre the Giant knocked him out cold one time in a match because he kept giving him stiff kicks or stiff punches. Andre just fucking cold cocked him in the face. Ultimate Warrior was not a safe wrestler, and it's very obvious here. He's just not good. It's just terrible.
Well, and he doesn't seem, as far as what I know, he doesn't seem to want to cooperate with any of the moves.
Yeah, that's pretty much the story for.
Like Hogan just sold that hit pretty well. I'll give him that.
That's pretty much the story of Warrior overall.
And, ooh, okay. Now they're selling the railings. They're outside of the ring because Hogan got tossed from the ring after his unrequited body slam, we'll call it. Crowd kind of selling it for him a little bit. Lady just had a little bit of a fearful moment.
That's the magic of wrestling crowds, brother. Kenny Powers trying to keep law and order here.
ooh, now they've got each other by the hair. It's there a girl fight. I mean, he has a lot of tassels, so it's inevitable.
Yeah, I mean, something's going to get grabbed.
Oh, there's the makeup not even on his face anymore.
It's running all over the place, man.
It is all but peeled off of his one cheek. Now, doing bouncy moves.
Wow,
ooh,
did you see how shitty that move was?
Yeah, I don't know what happened there, but.
And now Hogan just threw a knee into Kenny Powers' face,
Hogan
and now he's out cold.
Just beefed out on Kenny Powers.
What was that, guys? Hogan is doing his best to carry this match. I'll give you that. Now,
yeah,
here's the
thing
is,
without any reciprocal, that's the perspective I don't have. It in my mind, it makes it look like Hogan's doing a crappy job too. But you're saying that it's mostly to do with Warrior not playing his part.
Oh, here comes the run-ins. Here's the Giant, also known as Paul White, also known as the Big Show.
The Big Show is
that's
what I know
him
as.
An original member of the NWO. Oh, big boot.
See, this is like the most exciting thing that's happened so far.
There we go.
Like,
that
was
the
sweet.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, big show. Here comes Stevie Ray.
I was going to say.
And here comes Vincent, who
that
is
was one of
Virgil.
The best sold things of the night. Like, that was hardcore.
Dude, Vincent's the
took
fucking.
Punch out of the ring onto the floor from Warrior.
Vincent's the fucking MVP of this match here.
Warrior
he's also the
doing
bread,
his own officiating now.
The breadstick and meat sauce champion of the world. Here he goes. Here's Kenny Powers trying to get woken. Why don't you give him some of the like spirit of the warrior, pal?
Well, I was gonna say, why doesn't he hold hands with the official?
Now,
maybe
he's trying to push a move with Warrior.
The Warrior took about a half a second to realize that was supposed to hurt him too. Everybody's playing their own official now.
Kenny Powers is selling it. There's a kick out. That's the thing, right? Like Hogan, you know, Hogan takes a lot of shit from wrestling fans, and sometimes rightfully so.
Can we talk about this move right now?
He's kneeing him in the back.
What is this? What is the sell that Warrior's giving? He's like spreading his arms, like it's like a reflex test or something.
It's
and he's failing it.
Yeah, there he goes. A kick that misses and a punch. Hogan's holding his own here. He is carrying the match very clearly. But because Warrior
there's
is
humping
so,
the air again.
Here he goes. Here comes the weight belt coming off and smash.
Ooh.
That shit sucks.
Yeah, that's real.
That is real shit, man. You ever watch we can watch a strap match sometime, and that shit is fucking awful. There was a great strap match that just happened recently with Daniel Bryan and The Fiend Bray Wyatt, and you could tell these guys were just fucking angry with each other, just beating the shit out of each other.
That's just like a real
Kenny
thing.
Powers trying to disqualify Hollywood Hogan. And now he's going to put the belt back on. All right, here comes something.
Oh, he's going to rip his eyeballs off.
He's going to rip his face off.
Ripping that makeup off.
So sweaty.
Needed a close-up angle.
Yeah, absolutely.
There.
I definitely needed that.
Say, needed to see those teeth. Oh, okay. I mean, I feel like there's still only like 40% of the effort going on from either party in that that last slam. I won't give Hogan credit there.
I think Hogan's just trying.
I think there's more effort on his part, no doubt. But
here we go. I think this is the botch. Is this? Nope, not yet. There's a big. There was supposed to be an important part of the match that gets totally fucked up, and you'll know. I'll start calling it when I see it. Up and here comes the Warrior Slam. Then he misses.
And he hurts
himself. The crowd. If you look out on the crowd, you can see them all. There's just no energy.
They're sitting down.
You can hear them. They're just fucking dead, man.
Everyone's kind of just like waiting for the next exciting thing to happen.
Yeah. There's just no excitement going on whatsoever.
And is the whole thing with the guys that came in just done? There was like three guys that came in. That's it.
Yeah, they just had their run-ins. The Giant
they got knocked out real quick, and now they're done. Ooh, now we're getting
trying
interesting
to stop
here.
The Warrior. Yep, here we go. Is this more adult stuff we need to turn off? Yeah. Can't get the strap off. Can't get the weight belt. This is the first time I've heard the crowd come alive, like, at all.
All right, so now we're hitting Hogan with his own belt.
He's just not good.
Oh, wrapping it up.
Man, I don't know what I was thinking as a kid, man. Watching this back, I was like, holy shit. And he's got the weight belt thrown on the ground. Kenny Powers trying to retain some sort of normalcy here.
He says,
here we go.
Throw
here's
that belt
the
down
spot.
To your fucking ass.
All right, here's Hogan trying to light the paper. Here we go. Hogan's got a lighter. I want you to live stream this. Tell me everything that's going on in your head right now as you watch this.
He's bleeding on the ground right now. There's just dripping blood all over the mat. So a flash just went off like he lit something on fire for like a half a second.
So Hogan was
supposed to happen?
Hogan was supposed to throw a fireball into Warrior's face. And instead, he botched the move and burnt his face. So he burnt portions of his eyebrows off and his mustache.
So
he was supposed
Hogan to, burnt himself.
Right. He was supposed to blind the Warrior.
And he was already bleeding.
It. Yes. Okay. Well, actually, I don't know if he's bleeding yet. Is he?
What was? Yeah, he
oh,
is.
Yeah, there he
what
is. He
was
cut
that?
Himself open. That was a Warrior, double axe handle.
Warrior just kind of like climb up the turnbuckles.
Yeah.
I ate too much beef and cheese before I came out.
And he didn't even keep his hands together for the double axe handle, guys. What the fuck?
He looked like a kid that was jumping off of like a playground equipment because his mom said it was time to go home. Fine.
Matt did a better double axe handle to me. There's a low
just
blow.
Just hit him in the nuts.
There's a low blow right in the groceries.
Mm-hmm.
And what the fuck, man?
Kenny Powers is staying out of it. Hogan's at least, you know, he's all bloody now. It looks pretty good.
There's a leg drop. The big Hogan leg drop.
That was pretty iconic, at least.
Yeah. Here we go. The crowd's getting up now. That usually means someone's coming out. There he is. There's Horace Hogan.
Chair boy.
Horace Hogan's there, and Eric Bischoff's not far behind. This is what they call in wrestling, calling an audible with the appearance of Horace Hogan and Eric Bischoff. Double axe handle.
Warrior
shaking the rope. This is
jumping.
His thing, trying to get worked up. Oh my god! Just like
a
pinball. Look at how I don't know if you can tell, but you can see how blown up he is.
I was gonna say, I know angling yourself off of an object like that to gain speed is usually
friend of the show Eric Bischoff choking out Kenny Powers and the worst chair shot in the history of the world.
So he gave him a nice little smack on the back.
Love tap on the back there. One, two, three. We got ourselves the end of the match. Hollywood Hogan goes over on the Ultimate Warrior. There he is. And now they raise his hand. Here comes the NWO music. And everything is fine. All is well in Hogan world with Horace Hogan. And his face is all bloody. And out goes Kenny Powers, because that's some heel shit, brother. That's the heel heat, brother.
Hogan's looking pretty raw.
Yeah, dude. I believe he cut himself open. I think because
when he was getting that lighter out, he was dripping blood onto the corner of the ring.
And here comes some more shenanigans and gaga.
Ooh. It's peeing on him.
And now they're going to try to light the warrior on fire. That is lighter fluid, Sam. Horace Hogan is pouring lighter fluid on the Ultimate Warrior.
It's like Robinson's. And someone's dad came in to stop it. That's Kenny Powers' dad came in to say, don't do that.
Carl Jessup. He moonlights as a WCW
side official. Haircuts and goat advice.
This watch along brought to you by Anderson's Tire Rotation and Emporium.
Brought to you by Carl Jessup.
There we go. The hands raised.
Proprietor.
Eric Bischoff taunting the crowd. Hollywood Hogan is the winner.
That is the champ.
Walking away. Very much a loser in life, says Tony Schiavone. And the warrior lays in the ring, and there is absolutely no crowd reaction whatsoever.
He's still just kind of laying there. It's like, oh, what smells?
Smelling himself. What is all this?
Did I just fart?
And that is the end of that Warrior Hogan 2. Sam, what's your takeaway on that one, man?
Talk about your mild attempts at entertaining one of the largest arenas of professional wrestling.
That was like a 10th. There was like almost 11,000 people in that stadium.
Well, let's say MGM Grand. Yeah. And like they couldn't have been less interested in watching most of what was going on. I think the thing that probably just left me less than entertained by it was just what felt like a combination of things, like half effort. First of all, when the run-ins came on, that was the most exciting part of the whole thing. Like, I wanted more. Like, that's why I was like, what happened with those guys? Like, they were actually like doing cool stuff. Like,
yeah.
Why have to watch these lumbering, gas, freaking muscle men stand there and hold hands? That and just there seemed to be no connection.
No.
In the combination of the two. And probably culminating in standing there for 2.5 minutes, just sort of holding hands and yelling.
Yeah, I feel like there was no chemistry there between the two. You know, there was nothing there that really kept me excited about the match, like the way the first one happened. The first one is unbelievable, right? Hogan Warrior 1 is an incredible match. I remember just being sucked into it as a kid. And obviously, as you know, it's 6 or 7 year old kid. Actually, I think I was 5 when I watched that match, 5 or 6. And, you know, it's Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior. Of course you're going to be sucked in. These are two larger than life characters. But then you try to, like, recapture that magic in a bottle for people who are nostalgic. And it's just, it didn't work. It was flawed all the way around. And it was just fucking terrible.
Like if we got together, like, the Spin Doctors and EMF for a reunion show in 2021.
It's just not the same. It just doesn't hit. It doesn't slap the way it used to.
It might be entertaining, and I'm sure that they'll probably do the things they're known for, but the crowd will probably just sit there waiting for something else to happen.
So are you ready to watch more after today's episode? Are you ready to watch more shitty wrestling with me, Sam?
I mean, apparently it gets better from there.
It actually gets worse.
And that's what I meant by better.
We have World War III to look forward to. We have things like the Kennel from Hell, the Tower of Doom Cage. We have things like called the Chamber of Horrors. We have a lot of really, really terrible matches to look forward to that I'm very excited to continue this. So I guess last thoughts on Warrior Hogan 2.
My heart goes out to Kenny Powers. I hope he has recovered in the last 23 years since the the severe disrespect he was given in that poor showing of professional wrestling.
It was absolutely terrible. I think Nick Patrick is doing extremely well right now. So next time we do this, probably in the next like 2 or 3 weeks, what do you want to do? Do you want to watch? You pick out of the matches that I gave you just now. What are you hankering for?
Let's see. I'm trying to think back to the bunch you had given me, because I actually screenshotted our discussion about what it was. Of course, as I'm vamping through, searching through my list here. Here we go. Okay, so we knocked out Hogan Warrior 2.
It knocked us out.
We've got Doomsday cage match, Undertaker versus Goldberg, and the Kennel from Hell match were our other three choices. I don't have as much understanding of what Doomsday cage match or Kennel from Hell is. I know who Undertaker and I know who Goldberg are.
Yes.
So maybe we'll do that one next, because I at least have context for what it is.
We'll do Undertaker Goldberg. Yeah, basically the setup for that is kind of the same thing as Hogan Warrior. It was just these two guys that are titans in the field and never fought each other in a wrestling ring. And it was supposed to be
semi-recent.
Yes, I believe it was 2018 or 2019.
Then I at least have context
right
for this one having happened, due to a podcast that I listened to called Completely Unnecessary.
Yes.
With Pat Contry and Ian Ferguson, because they talk about video games, but they also talk wrestling, and they complained profusely about this match. Not necessarily that it happened, just that a lot of the kinds of things that you were mentioning, you know, the lack of selling, etc. But I think it's for different reasons that we could probably touch on when we get to that one.
Yeah, I think there's a lot that we could talk about, like with the nostalgia effect, which I think has a lot more to do with Undertaker Goldberg in like 2018, 2019 than it does with Hogan Warrior 2. But we could touch on all the different things that sort of led up to this, to that match, and the things that happened, because there is a really sort of kind of insane story that happened like right in the beginning of the match, and then it's actually it's probably the scariest match I've ever watched. I'll leave it at that, because I don't want to give you too much, because I want you to actually watch it in real time. But it's terrifying in a lot of different places. So we will leave it at that. Sam, thank you so much for spending this quality Wednesday evening with me watching shitty wrestling. This has been a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for making me watch the worst wrestling instead of the best wrestling.
And it's just going to get worse.
I appreciate it.
It's just going to get worse, man. So buckle up. Right. Again, for Sam Krebs, I'm Adam Bernard. Thank you so much for joining us on Foundation Radio. We will see you again next week. Peace.
Foundation Radio is hosted, recorded, and executive produced by Adam Barnard. The show is also produced by Sam Krebs. Special thanks to Greg Mead, Joe Keen, Jeff Quinn, and Dr. Ruth Almy. Our intro and outro music is produced by Dumb Ugly. Find this episode and our full archive at foundationradio.net. Follow us on Instagram at foundation_radio. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your favorite podcasts. This has been a Foundation Radio production. Butts Carlton, proprietor.